Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. I want to get right to this episode. Before we do, I want to thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Want to let you know the best way to reach out to me is probably an email at jscottoutdoors@gmail.com or through my Instagram account at jscottoutdoors. Just send me a direct message. I want to thank GoHunt.com. They are the title sponsor and have been since the inception of my podcast in 2015. You guys know Cody Nelson, my friend, the glassing guru, the optics authority. They're the optics manager at GoHunt.com. If you guys have any optics needs, any tripod, any glassing questions, you can reach out to Cody directly at 602-399-3699. You can text or call him. That is his cell phone. You can also reach him at 702-847-8747. You can email optics@gohunt.com. Make sure to always use, whether ordering online or if you're calling and call Cody direct, use the J. Scott promo code. You're going to get a 10% discount. Also, you get a 10% discount at the Go Hunt Insider, which has incredible mapping now with the Go Hunt maps. It also has amazing draw odds and strategy articles, which is super important this spring going into application season. Go check it out, gohunt.com/jscott. And if you use the J. Scott promo code, you're going to get a $50 Go Hunt gear shop gift card when you sign up just by using the J. Scott promo code. I also want to thank Kuyu Ultralight Hunting. I've been using Kuyu gear since 2010 when the company started. They're based out of California. My late friend Jason Harrison was the founder of that company, and since Jason's passing, the company has just continued to push the bar of excellence and innovation. Go to Kuyu, that's KUIU.com. You can order, it's a direct-to-consumer website. They also have a retail store in Dallas, Texas, as well as the headquarters in Dixon, California. Go to Kuyu, KUIU.com to order. I also want to thank Phonescope.com. Cheston and his guys over there at Phonescope make the best digiscoping adapters for your binos or for your spotting scope. Use the JSCOT24 promo code and get a 10% discount on all orders. Guys, let's get right to this episode. Again, I appreciate you tuning in, and God bless. Guys, welcome to the J. Scott Outdoors podcast. Today I've got Jimmy Oswald on the phone. I know Jimmy from taking over Cliff Gray's Flat Top Wilderness Guides up in the Colorado Flat Tops Wilderness area. Jimmy, how you doing? I'm anxious to talk to you today.
Yeah, good, Jay. Thanks thanks for having me on.
I've met you one time up there with Cliff. Gray obviously has been on this podcast a bunch and co-hosted this podcast, and you were kind of Cliff's right-hand man up there. And then when Cliff sold out, it sounds like you've taken over the role of you know, managing all of the operation up there. Tell me and the listeners a little bit about what you've got going on.
Yeah. So when Cliff sold the business back in 2021, I took over the business. The owners of the business are from out of state, so they purchased it from Cliff, and then they kind of retained me and much of the, you know, basically all of the staff to continue the operation. So the new business is called LKS Outfitters, and to so the majority of people, LKS Outfitters means absolutely nothing. We still do business as Flat Tops Wilderness Guides. Our website still is Flat Tops Wilderness Guides. And then underneath LKS Outfitters, we have since purchased several other Forest Service permits throughout the state. One of which is Horn Fork Guides, based out of outside of Buena Vista, and that's kind of our premier sheep, goat, moose hunting outfit, along with kind of the hidden gem there is the elk hunting in that area.
Nice. So, Jimmy, a little bit of background on you. Where are you from originally? And give us a little background on yourself.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I was born and raised there. Went to Penn State. Graduated there in 2014 with a degree in wildlife and fishery science. And then kind of right after college, bounced around a little bit, did some work on some hunting ranches down in Texas, went and worked for the Pennsylvania Game Commission, trapping and tagging whitetails and kind of doing some surveys for them. Went to Alaska, worked for an aquaculture corporation up there, raising salmon, worked on a boat up there, and then was down in Texas, and knew that I had skied out west before, and knew that I always wanted to come out west, and kind of took a leap of faith. I had a pretty good gig on a ranch down there, had a house, a work truck, and I came out and worked for Cliff as an intern, left all that, and went back to making internship wages and a little bit of hard work and some luck, and kind of started taking over more of a managerial position under Cliff.
That's fantastic. Do you still get time to snow ski in the winter?
I don't. No. The last time I went skiing was 2019, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to pick your brain today. Obviously, we're getting close. I think it's an April 2nd deadline for Colorado, and the applications are due. And I usually would have Cliff on every year to talk about all of the opportunity for the deer, elk, sheep, goat, bear, etc., the hunting in Colorado. Before we dive into the specifics of animals and areas and whatnot, obviously Colorado has been in the news with the release of the wolves. What is your take on the release of the wolves and, impacts that you've seen already or projected impacts, first and foremost?
Yeah, and so, Jay, I mean, I think I want to be clear that, I think wolves are, they're awesome animals. If anyone that got to, has spent time around them or seen one, you're like, holy cow, these are incredible animals. In my opinion, and I think a lot of hunters, I don't think Colorado is really wild enough anymore to have wolves. So that's a bit of a bummer that, I think if you were to ask the CPW, they don't think Colorado is wild enough anymore. I mean, back in the 90s, they tried doing the same thing, and the CPW said, it's not suitable wolf habitat anymore, and that was 20 years ago. So, the ballot box biology tactic of putting these wolves in is a shame, and it looks like, not to go down a rabbit hole, Jay, but they're trying to do the same thing with ballot box biology to take away lion hunting. As far as effects have gone, it's still too early, and not enough wolves to really see a wildlife impact. But there's been some ranchers in outside of Walden that they've had, I think it was 11 or 12, and I might be totally making that up, Jay, but it's quite a few depredations, lifestyle depredations from wolves. And the crappy part is we're not seeing any management of wolves that are depredating livestock, and I think that's just going to be a continuing trend, and it's a shame.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's been a lot of there's been a lot of public outcry and a lot of heartache for a lot of people, and that, as you say, ballot box biology, you know, that can get us into trouble, and there's proven cases of that. With that being said, your operation is very vast. You guys have a big operation. Cliff had a bigger operation, and you guys have, you know, really grown that and expanded into different areas. Tell us a little bit about your bread and butter as far as your different hunts, how your operation, you know, kind of the timing of the seasons and whatnot of, you know, what you guys do on an everyday basis with taking hunters and whatnot.
Yeah, so the vast majority of our operation, and I'd probably say, you know, 60% of it are drop camp style hunts. So, you know, for the folks that aren't familiar with drop camps, basically it's a do-it-yourself style hunt. We just assist you getting into an area, getting your game out and getting back to your vehicle. So we set up canvas style wall tents, supply of all the gear, and folks really just need to bring their food and a sleeping bag. And then the other probably 30% of our business, I'm specifically talking about our Flat Tops Wilderness Guides business out of Unit 25, so the kind of the southern part of the Flat Tops. The other 30% being guided hunts, fully guided hunts. We run some of our guided hunts out of the wilderness, so we're staying in the wall tents, keeping horses on the mountain, have a cooking camp. And then as we get into our later rifle seasons, we do more lodge-based guided hunts. And you've been to the lodge, Jay. Yeah. But we actually did last year in August, we completed a remodel on it. So it went from really nice to kind of next level nice. And for the listeners, that lodge is right at the end of the road, surrounded on three sides by a forest. And we're just riding out every day and coming back each night to that lodge. And then the remaining 10% on that Flat Tops business is kind of supplemented with if we get a sheep tag in the area, a moose tag in the area, and then we do quite a few bear hunts as well.
Okay, and the bears are pretty thick, and the bear hunting can be excellent, can it?
Yeah, it can, yeah. So, you know, last year, with all the precipitation that we had in the winter, holy cow, there were acorns and berries galore. It was almost to the point where it was problematic, because there, you know, every patch of oak brush or choke cherries had fruit on it, and kind of dispersed the bears a little more. But in a normal year, yeah, those bears concentrate on some, you know, a handful of productive patches of oak brush or choke cherry or service berry, depending on the time of the month, and yeah, it can be pretty epic.
Okay, with that operation, you say 70% is drop camp, 30% is fully guided. How much of that is, you know, taking archery elk hunters, first season, second, third, you know, how does that break up, or what is kind of the breakdown of how you do your hunts there with those tags?
Yeah, so we last year we also purchased out Jay our western neighbor, which was a smaller outfit, so it added six or seven more camps, some more remote country. So right now, with the archery season being a month long, we want quite a few archery hunts. I would say archery is probably 50% of our drop camp business, just because we have a month to run those, and we can run our high elevation camps, where, you know, come third rifle season, I don't think you would want to be at 11,000 feet, you know. And then first and second rifle season, we probably have a little more drop camps out there than third. But again, that's just based on picking strategically picking camps where there's going to be game. And end of November or middle of November. Again, you know, you wouldn't be at 11,000 feet. Most years, it's a wasteland up there. There's not a living critter.
In other words, they're migrating down into lower elevations.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of impact, you know, there's been talk about the OTC archery elk hunts for non-residents. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with what they're proposing or what you're hearing about potentially proposing for, I believe, making the archery non-resident OTC hunts go away and turn into a draw.
Yeah, that's correct. Again, this is all just proposed and staff recommendations from the CPW to the CPW commission, which they then have to vote on. Typically, they do fall back onto their staff and go with their recommendations. So my guess, Jay, is that come 2025, there will not be a over-the-counter archery elk unit west of I-25 for both residents and non-residents. And I think once that goes away, I don't ever see that coming back. But with that said, I don't think that all of a sudden there's going to be that folks aren't going to be able to go hunting every year. I still think a over-the-counter archery unit is still going to have enough tags that you're going to be able to draw that as your first choice with 0 points. And most likely there's going to be quite a few units that you're going to be able to draw as a second choice. So continuing to build a point and still be able to hunt that year.
Okay. So you think that there'll be enough tags issued. So what's the difference really, if it, you know, if there's enough tags in all the units and there might be leftover tags, what would be the difference? Maybe some of the 4 or 5 units that the OTC pressure, you know, doubles, triples, quadruples. The
Yeah. So, you know, I do think that, well, and I'm not going to bash the CPW. There's obviously, you know, funding issues, staffing issues, but they really don't have a good handle on how many folks are hunting specific units. You know, I think they sold last year around 30,000 over the counter tags. I don't think they know how many of those tags are going into specific units. You know, there might be units in the flat tops that are seeing 2-3 times the amount of over-the-counter hunting pressure as another over-the-counter unit 15 miles down the road.
Because it's OTC across the board, and if you get an over-the-counter tag, you can go in a handful or a bunch of units.
Yeah.
They don't really know where those OTC tags were being distributed, is what you're saying.
Right, yeah, correct. You know, when you draw a limited entry tag, you have to hunt, you know, that specific unit, or it might be in a small unit cluster where those over-the-counter tags, you know, you might have some folks coming up from, you know, or coming out from another state, and they go hit one unit, they go in there for a couple of days, don't see anything or see, you know, whatever reason, they decide to leave and they keep bouncing, and they might go hunt 5 units over the course of the month and then spend a whole bunch of time in one unit. Or yeah, again, there, you know, a lot of people look at the flat tops, look at the data on the flat tops, see that it has the largest elk herd in Colorado, and you know, it attracts a whole lot more hunters than, say, a unit down in around Pagosa Springs.
How do you think getting rid of over-the-counter in the flat tops, I would think it would make the hunting better because it should relieve a little bit of pressure, should it not?
Yeah, no, I think this would be contrary to what most people would imagine a historical over-the-counter outfitter would think. But I look forward to the day that it is a draw. I think it'll be. I think it makes. It's good for hunters. It's good for the hunters that are hunting with us. It's good for public hunters that are doing it on their own. I think it's good for wildlife. That those elk might not get harassed as much. I think you're going to see more bugling, more talking out of the elk. So yeah, no, I look forward to kind of cutting back some of those hunters. And increasing the quality of the hunt.
I know OTC archery elk has been a huge thing in Colorado for many years, and so it's, I think, really hard for a lot of people that have been used to that hunt for them to think that it's going to go away. But the reality is you think that the tag allocations will be generous enough that still if people want to go hunting, there will be opportunities for them to find a tag and go hunting.
For sure, without a doubt. Now, I do think that I can't speak to a specific unit on that, but, you know, if it was a unit that historically was over-the-counter, goes to limited entry, but happened to be one of those units that saw 2-3x the amount of traffic than a neighboring OTC unit down the road, that unit might all of a sudden go and take 2 points to draw, but there'll be another unit close by that they would be able to draw. The first few years of this, Jay, it's going to be the Wild West, because we really don't know how many folks were hunting in these specific units.
So it'll take a little while for things to kind of even out and for people to distribute and the CPW to kind of get a feel and handle for everything. Will that affect the OTC rifle hunts at all, or is that just archery?
So right now, the staff recommendations are for the next 5 years, so 2025 through 2029, to continue with the second and third over-the-counter rifle seasons. Okay. So those should not be going away. And we could go down a rabbit hole on that, Jay. It's goofy, right? Because you have there's more elk being shot with rifles than with bows. But so it's not about increasing elk herds or populations. It's about hunter satisfaction out there. So
right. Let's talk specifics about your areas that you hunt, and uh-huh. let's start with deer and talk about generally what are you seeing out on the landscape as far as quality of deer, and what do you see as some of your better opportunities for good quality hunting for deer? Which seasons are those and whatnot? Or you can kind of go through the seasons from start to finish and kind of talk a little bit about each one. And then I want to do the same thing with elk.
Yeah. So, Jay, it's kind of a sad deal here in Colorado. Our deer herd, it's funny. It's not funny, but I've seen it over the course of 10 years. Go downhill drastically. In our unit 25, 5 years ago, a deer specific hunter during a third season or fourth season hunt, we would kind of be targeting 170 inch deer and up. Now, I think the biggest deer our Flat Tops Wilderness Guides outfit shot last year was a 160 inch deer. In the past, we would shoot several 180 inch deer every year, and every couple years shoot a 200 inch deer. So the genetics are there. Just the quality has gone down, and that's due to the later seasons, increase in tag allocations during those later rut hunts. So we just don't have the age class that we used to have, and that's pretty statewide, with the exception of, you know, maybe you know, unit 44 or some of these other really, you know, 20 plus preference point GMUs. But as far as, you know, opportunity to hunt deer, holy cow, Colorado gives guys the gives you ample time and plenty of opportunity to go hunting. Archery deer hunts in basically the entire month of September. For the archery specific deer hunter, I would be out there opening day with probably a week of scouting. So that way you're catching them while they're still in velvet, kind of not harassed yet by elk hunters. Muzzleloader gives guys lots of time. And then second season, you know, with these later season dates that we've seen, second season used to be kind of a subpar deer hunt. Now it's actually you're watching bucks chase does. Third rifle season, that's actually might be my favorite deer season now. I think it's just about peak rut. It's a longer season, and you know, I've seen that with our later fourth rifle season deer hunts, specifically in the flat tops. Come that last week in November, a lot of those deer have moved down onto private and are off of the forest. So I think third rifle is actually the better tag to have.
Like you said, the third season you get a longer period of time. They're rutting the fourth season as well, but it's kind of like you're looking across the fence and they're on private and you can't get to them because they're down on private property. It has been, I've hunted Colorado for many years, and it has been kind of hard to watch the decline in quality, where Colorado used to be known as, you know, one of the best, if not the best mule deer hunting in the United States. And it's been hard to kind of watch that decline of age class, over, like you said, the last 10 years and certainly over the last five. You know, I would like to think that somehow that they can turn that around and you know, kind of get a handle on that, because, you know, it was so good. Now let's talk about elk hunting, specifically in the areas that you hunt, and, you know, talk about quality and opportunity with the elk.
Yeah, so and I'll kind of start off, Jay, with our Horn Fork permit, which again is outside of Buena Vista, and it's a pretty large permit. We do a lot of our elk hunting in 48481, which is it's a draw. It's been a draw for a long time, but it's not a super hard draw. Those are some serious mountains. You're hunting in the Collegiate Peak Wilderness. It's got the highest concentration of 14ers around, so it's no joke in there. But the elk hunting is pretty epic in there. We also are able to guide just across the highway over in 49, which is kind of a more premier elk unit that takes non-residents, you know, up to 15 points, you know, for a muzzleloader tag to draw in there. In my opinion, I think it's a little overvalued of a hunt. You know, does it produce 350 bulls? Yep, you bet. But I'd still venture a guess that the average bull harvested in there is going to be a big 5x5, smaller 6x6, you know, kind of that under a 310-inch bull. But that's a great hunt for somebody that's been building up a bunch of points, wants to go out there and see a bunch of elk. I think it's a great hunt. And then our unit 25, that's over the counter for archery second and third. First and fourth are a very easy draw. You can draw that historically as a second choice. You know, that's a hunt that you're not putting a number of to what you're looking for on that hunt. You're going out there and be tickled to death with the first legal bull you get the chance at.
And legal bull in Colorado is what, a 5-inch eye guard or a 4-point on one side or more?
Yeah. So 4 points on one side. There's a caveat to the rule. As long as it has a 5-inch brow tine, then it's that makes it legal as well. But in general, most of our elk go from spikes to 4x4s or 4x3s. So pretty easy to tell apart.
Gotcha. And then what about the cow elk hunting there in your areas? Do you get a lot of antlerless hunting?
So the CPW does issue cow tags in there. Historically, it used to be a lot more. I'm glad they've cut those out. I wish we would cut more of those out. I don't think our elk herds need the cows shot out, to be honest with you. But if a hunter comes out with us, during the draw application period, they see that unit 25 gives out cow tags. We do get a handful of folks that get cow tags, and that's totally fine. It's not. I don't think it's my job to manage elk populations. That's the CPW's. So if one of our hunters didn't get that cow tag, it would just go to somebody else, you know.
Right. As far as other units that are limited entry units, as far as elk, are you familiar with, you know, the 76s and the 61s and the 2s and 10s and some of those units? Have you spent any time?
Yeah, you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time in those, Jay. What I would say on especially those, you know, that 1-2-201, that northwest corner, that are taking 25 points to draw, my recommendation to folks, I personally would rather go to a 5-point unit and hunt it 5 times rather than go to unit 201 and hunt it once. In my opinion, they're not shooting that many 350, 360, 370, 380 bulls up there that some of these 5-point units aren't producing. So that's just my two thoughts on it. I'd rather go hunting a middle of the road unit a bunch of times rather than one unit, one kind of epic unit, one time.
You bet. Understand totally what you're saying. Let's jump to sheep and goat and talk about, you have some pretty good sheep and goat hunts. Talk about what you guys have to offer there.
Yeah, so we got a bunch of sheep hunts. We're able to guide in quite a few units, and I'll just rattle them off for you. We can guide in S2, S11, S12, S17, S23, S47, and so I'm going through my cheat sheet here, S59, S66, hopefully by the time this podcast come out, we'll be able to guide in S67 as well.
And how do you see the sheep populations and the quality of those hunts in the state of Colorado?
Yeah, I was actually on the phone with one of the gentlemen from Rocky Mountain Bighorn Society. Our sheep herd is down a little bit. A couple years ago, it was at a recent all-time high. Our populations are going down. Some of these units, I'd like to see the CPW either shut down or limit the tags in even more. some of those other units, you know, S11, for instance, the quality in there has gone down over the last couple of years. But I think that's more of just folks harvesting the first lamb they see, you know, kind of shooting that barely legal half curl banana ram, instead of really kind of going after it. And I think that's just due to the folks that are drawing these tags, that they're at 20 plus points, and they're in their 70s. So right. The sheep hunting
so long to get the tag, and
yeah,
once they get it, they can't really go.
So right, yeah,
shooting whatever they can shoot, and they're happy.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, the genetics are obviously still there. The habitat, gosh dang, Colorado has so much sheep habitat, that this historical range that they don't have sheep on it now due to disease and stuff. But you know, our sheep hunting's good. It's still going to be the most non-resident friendly for folks that obviously aren't residents of Colorado. So it's still a great opportunity. You know, if you're a 20-year-old listening to this, gosh dang, man, you better start putting in for those tags if you ever want to go sheep hunting. If you're 60 years old and you're just listening to this, you know, I would almost encourage you to save some money and maybe pick a different species to go after rather than sheep. Or if you have the means, go to Canada and do, or, you know, Alaska and do a doll hunt.
What about your goat hunting? You guys have some pretty good goat hunting.
We do, Jay. Yeah. We're able to guide in G1, G2, G3, G6, G11. Yeah, I might be missing one there. But, yeah, we know we do have some really great goat hunting. There's a lot of non-resident and resident opportunity in G3. It's still one of my favorite units to hunt in. G6 has they've increased the tag allocations over the years in there, but we've shot some great goats in there. Last year, I think we shot a 10 1/8 inch billy, which is about as big as they come in Colorado, you know. So some really good opportunity in there. Me personally, I'm want to shoot a goat that's haired up instead of looking for the biggest horns, but that's just me.
What's your favorite unit for goat to hunt?
G3, hands down.
And that, for people that don't know the specific, you know, what town is that nearby?
Yeah, the closest town would be Buena Vista.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've covered the sheep, we've covered the goat, the deer, and the elk. You guys also offer bear hunting. That's primarily in the early season, right, during kind of the September seasons?
Yeah, correct. We're doing the majority of our commercial bear hunts the first 2 weeks of September, and then the owner comes in usually the second half of the month with some buddies and does his bear hunts. In general, the first half of September is the better time of the year to be bear hunting.
Okay. Do you guys do any spring turkey hunting at all, as far as guiding spring turkey hunting?
We don't, Jay. We're kind of, you know, that property that you've been to there where the Flat Tops Wilderness Guides headquarters is, that's actually a draw unit for turkeys. They're super fun to hunt, but no, we just don't, we don't guide them.
Okay. And what about fishing opportunities, in the summer? Are you guys, doing any high mountain lakes or any stream fishing at all for people?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of summer business. A lot of day horseback rides, pack trips. My favorite is the fishing. We'll target. It's kind of they're not as packaged of deals. So kind of creating more custom trips for folks if they want to fish moving water. If they want to fish high alpine lakes, one of our summer camps is right in between two really big lakes that have a lot of cutthroats and big cutthroats in one, and then cutthroat and lake trout in the other. And we'll take belly boats up there. It's a really unique opportunity to fish high country lakes and not see folks. Which is one of the real neat things in the flat tops.
Like, what elevation is that at, roughly?
11,000. So the top of the flat tops.
So it's just beautiful, and you're catching cutthroat. And in generally, what size range are those cutthroat, and what kind of cutthroat are they?
Jay, you probably put me a little bit on the spot as far as the species of cutthroats, but I do know that the CPW supplements those populations with aerial stocking. Okay. And I've looked at the spreadsheets. I forget what the cross is there. It's like FH1X or something, and I'm not sure what that means. But
they get red though at certain times of the year, don't they?
They do.
And are they like 10 to 15 inches, or are they like?
I would say that's probably, you know, of, you know, 10 to 13 inches. Around that foot is probably your average. I've seen lots and lots of, 20 inchers.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's actually a pretty unique fishing spot to be able to go and catch, you know, several 20-inch fish and then cutthroats.
Do you also have brook trout fishing in the creeks?
We do. Yep. So a lot of our creeks, and it's kind of funny. There's specific creeks that are 90% brook trout, 10% cutthroat, and then one creek, you know, in the very next drainage is the complete opposite. You know, 90% cutthroat, 10% brook trout.
Interesting. And then drop camp hunts, back to that. If someone wants to set up a drop camp, is it okay to do solo? Do you like to have groups, or do you just recommend people call you and you kind of customize whatever they want, and then you can take them in and drop them at certain camps? I mean, tell us a little bit about how you do those drop camp hunts, and like from an outfitter's perspective, what you kind of prefer. And people call and say, hey, I got a group of four, or a group of two, or a group of eight.
Yeah.
What's the scoop?
Yeah. So I require a minimum of two hunters to book a drop camp. So as long as there's two guys in your group or gals, as long as there's two hunters, I'll book that camp. You're the only ones in that camp, so I don't mix groups. If you're a solo hunter, I do keep a list of other solo hunters. I'll periodically CC everyone on an email. And I encourage you guys, you know, those folks on that are solo hunters to reach out to one another, get on the phone, chat with one another. If you're close enough and can go actually meet in person, make sure personalities mesh, hunting strategies, mesh. I'd be more than happy to book those hunters. As far as maximum group size, you know, I've already taken a group of eight into a camp. In my opinion, I think a group of eight is too many, especially during archery season. I prefer to kind of split that group of eight up and take them to two different camp locations. You know, not obviously not right on top of each other, but where if they wanted to go and go over to one of their other camps, spend time with their other buddies, they could throw their sleeping bag in their pack and hike over to that camp, hunt some different country for the day. In general, though, I'd say most folks that are booking our archery style drop camps are coming out with three to four people in the group. And I think that's a good number. Most folks are wanting to hunt in pairs. So I think four is a great number. Two's not a bad number either, but there's a lot of chores that have to be done in a drop camp, you know, filtering water, cutting firewood. And it can be a lot for two guys.
Do you also offer, if guys say, hey, I want to have someone here around camp doing all that stuff. We want to do the hunting. We want someone to cook for us. We want somebody here to do all the chores. Do you offer that as well, where, you know, you have someone that's tending camp while they're out doing, you know, out hunting during the day?
You know, we get a lot of requests for that, Jay. It's not something we offer. I've done that, personally, a couple of times, and I ended up wearing myself ragged because I was out there wanting, you know, I was out there wanting to help guide those guys, or at least, you know, go spot for them, and then I'd come back and cook for them. So it's not something that I offer, although I think it would be a great thing to offer. It just comes down to a lot of staffing.
Sure, understood. What is the? I'm going to let you go here in just a minute. But what is the current situation with the snowfall? Is it an average year, just above average, below average? Where are we sitting right now?
Yeah. So right now, I would say on the western slope, where most folks are probably doing the bulk of their hunting, we're just under average. It feels like we're way under, just because we're going off of looking at the previous year where we were, you know, almost double average, right? So we're not that far behind on our snowpack. I think the animals that were around last year probably think it's been summer year round, just because it's been relatively warm, not near the amount of snowfall as last year. So the animals are doing really well. You know, I can't speak to all of the state, but the areas that I'm familiar with, critters are doing well.
Sounds good. And if people want to get more information to apply with you or pick your brain about drop camps or guided hunts in all your different concessions, they just reach out to you. And do you still have opportunity available for this fall coming up?
Yeah, so if people are interested in our different hunting opportunities, they can check us out at flattopswildernessguides.com and then our other outfit, hornforkguides.com. As far as opportunity goes this year, I did actually have a gentleman for a guided over-the-counter archery elk hunt. He tore something in his knee, so that actually opened a spot up. And then I do have a couple of archery drop camps still available. And again, those are over-the-counter, either sex tags, and folks could potentially get an archery deer tag and a bear tag as well during those seasons.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning and sharing a little bit about your operations. It sounds like you guys have just been steadily growing since you guys purchased from Cliff. And I commend you guys on that and wish you the best of success. And again, thanks for coming on with us. Any final words or final thoughts here?
Not really, Jay. I appreciate you having me on the show today. And if folks want to check out our websites, we try to be relatively active on social media, especially our Flat Tops Wilderness Guides account. So if they just search at Flat Tops Wilderness Guides or at Horn Fork Guides, we should come up, and folks can see what the country looks like, see good representation of animals that come from some of these areas.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Jimmy, thanks for coming on, and we'll be chatting at you down the road, okay?
Yep. Appreciate it, Jay. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. God bless. Take care.